Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali, and in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. Hello, and welcome back to The Confident Healer podcast. I'm Sharmila Mali. I am your host, and this is season 2, episode 2. So I want to tell you about something funny and interesting. Well, I find it funny and interesting that happened at the psychic fair the other day. So there is a psychic fair that I've been participating in. I do Akashic record readings and also do intuitive Reiki and energy work as well. And we were having a bit of a lull when we first opened that Saturday, me and this other healer, Claire, and who I have permission to use her name, by the way. And she asked to do a trade. So meaning we would trade services until we both got a client. And I thought, gosh, what am I going to ask her? I don't know what I could ask about. So I asked her about this pain in my shoulder. And then I remembered, it's like, you know what? I want some more information about this. And so 2 weeks ago, I had two dreams, two nights in a row about dead people. The first dream was about Anthony Bourdain. And then the second night, to my surprise, I dreamt about my Huzurma, which means grandmother. It's my dad's mom. And she passed away in 1996. And so I asked her, I said, so my grandmother came to me in my dream and she was alive. And we went through like a whole week or something together. And then she died in the dream. And I had experienced in the dream such a profound sense of grief. Like I was just crying in the dream and some of my friends were in it and we were in Nepal and one of my friends had invited me, this is all in the dream, invited me out to get Greek food of all things. And so I was walking through the streets of Kathmandu crying, just bawling my eyes out, like hyperventilating, crying and sitting down with her. And she was just there to, you know, to hold space for me and just be a friend and, you know, try to help me get through my grief. And I realized how much it was affecting my physical body because I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I could just feel this heaviness in my chest and this, like I said, just an overwhelming sense of grief. And so I went back to sleep and was just working through the grief and in the dream, like I was shocked that she was alive again. I was like, oh, did you not really die? Yeah. So that was that dream. And then the night before I dreamt about Anthony Bourdain. Just to give you a little background, like I watched his show, No Reservations, a few times, and I didn't like it. I didn't like him. I mean, I loved what he was doing, and I wanted to be doing that. I was like, pay me to go eat and travel. That's my thing. I just didn't like, you know, he just kind of came off as arrogant. And then I used to watch Top Chef, and, you know, he would be one of the guest judges sometimes during the quick fires. And so anyway, so that's my history about with Anthony Bourdain. So here I am having this dream. There's like this secret house or this house in the Pacific Northwest, and it's on the water, some sort of secret government agency with spies. And it was the house where the spies would go for, you know, to meet someone or to get information. And so I wandered into the basement and there was Anthony Bourdain and an older sidekick guy. And the place was a mess. There was beer cans, you know, all over the living room and on the coffee table surrounding the couch. And I was like, why is Anthony Bourdain in my dream? Like, what's going on? And I was there with this woman I know. We're not even really good friends, you know, that's how dreams work, right? But this woman I know was in the dream and he was like, oh, okay, you're here. Great. I've made some dinner for us. And the kitchen was dirty. There were like dirty pots and pans and opened cans and beer cans and liquor bottles. And his sidekick guy was there, you know, like doing something on the stove or something. And he had made a dish out of leftovers. He had some sort of root vegetable leftovers and he pureed it and he was going to use that as a sauce for the polenta. And I think he might have had some other things, but that's what I remember from the dream. So he presented these two different versions of the puree, one for my friend. And he's like, oh, I think you'll like this. And then he gives me one, a bowl, you know, just to try. And he's like, and I think you'll like this. This one I didn't put anything in. And this one, the one that he gave to my friend, he did. And, you know, I tried mine. I was like, yeah, I like this. And he was kind of being like, yeah, I know you'll like this. And, you know, she'll like this. And I was like, but I really like hers. And I like that you put a little vinegar in it. And he seemed surprised that I could taste, you know, the little bit of vinegar that he put in. And yeah, I just thought, what a shithole. And what am I doing? Why is he in my dream? I don't understand. Is there a message for me? Because I knew. So usually in the dream, I'm also the observer. And so I knew that I had a dead person in my dream. And I was wondering, oh, is there a message that I need to give someone? I don't know. So So it's 2 weeks later, I'm at the psychic fair. And so Claire, who is a medium and a channel, she's also an incredible artist. She was showing me some of her work on her phone. I just really resonated with her artwork. And she's also a dancer. We take dance classes at Starborn Healing and Wellness. And so we were doing this trade. And so I did energy work on her. Now that I've told you about the dream, this is the reading that she gave me. So when it came to my grandmother, who I know is one of my guides, but it's not something I know she's there. Like I'm aware she's there, but I'm not calling on her specifically. I just call my divine team, right? When I'm doing any kind of energy work. And so Claire was telling me that my grandmother was really happy and happy that I was talking to her and in this manner through Claire. And she was really, really proud of me. And she was just really excited, like, let's go, let's do some healing work, you know, meaning that she wanted to help me with my work and as when I help other people. So that was really, really sweet. And then I asked about Anthony Bourdain. She said that he was lost. He didn't know where he was. And I said, you know, I thought I had mentioned to Claire in this reading, I said, you know, I was like, yeah, it was really strange to have this dream about him because, you know, I didn't really like him. And he said, yeah, well, I didn't really like myself either. And we all laughed at that. And he said that, you know, he didn't really know himself. He was very uncomfortable in his body, and that she said, "Oh, he needs help. He needs help to cross over." And she said, "Will you help me?" Claire asked me, "Will you help me help him cross over?" I was like, "Oh my goodness, absolutely!" And he said he felt ashamed, and you know, he just had a lot of anguish and angst, and I guess he's just been floating around, not realizing how to get out. And so we helped him cross over to the light. And that is like so incredibly remarkable and astounding to me. And it just kind of blew me away, like, oh yeah, just a typical day at your psychic fair. So last night, the other part of this is I'm going to read you what I got when I did, I opened my Akashic records and I got permission to open his and my grandmother's. And I want to read you what I got. So the Akashic records is a way of doing a reading. And the Akashic records is is your soul's point of origin. And so that can mean whether you can ask about your past lives or the current life and get guidance and see where you basically need to grow in your life. So how I do a reading for myself is the way the messages come through is I have to write it down. So I'm channeling information and I write down exactly what is being, what I hear, what I see. That's the way it works for me. When I do a reading for others, when I open someone else's Akashic record, when they come to me for a reading, I don't have to do that. I do have a pen and paper just in case, you know, they want me to draw something or write something down. But I get that quite clearly, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But when it comes to my own reading, it works when I have pen and paper or I'm able to have my laptop and type it out. So I opened my Akashic records and asked about Anthony, my dream, about both these dead people, because again, like I used to keep a dream. I was pretty good at keeping a dream journal since I was 16. I took this psychology class in high school, and that was one of the exercises. And since then, up until about a few years ago when I got my second cat, I was keeping a dream journal. So I have a really good vivid memory. And if I talk about it and just write a couple of things down, I can remember it. And so this has been on the forefront of my mind, this dream, because I just thought, oh, like, is that what's happening now? Like, dead people are going to come to me in my dreams and I have to figure out how I can help them. I don't know. This is the question I'm going to read. Did the soul of Anthony Bourdain come to me in a dream? Yes and no. So they answer yes and no. Your consciousness and his met in that space. So I asked, why wasn't it obvious? And my Akashic records answered, due to the events of the dream. It was obvious in the dream you were, so they replied, it was obvious in the dream because you were surprised he was there. So, which is, I was aware that he was dead. And I was like, why am I dreaming about him? He was playing out his past life, meaning the life of Anthony Bourdain. He was gracious, made you a meal. You thought to yourself, that's a great idea, making a soup sauce from leftover veggies to serve with polenta. Perhaps if you, as the observer in your dream, weren't judging his home and being appalled and just observed and watched, maybe he would have said more. So that is what I got from my Akashic record reading about my dream about Anthony Bourdain. So the other interesting thing about this is that I had consulted a friend of mine who is an Ayurvedic practitioner, because she had told me that she would get some hormone balancing herbs for me. And I remembered that because I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot. Like, did you get those herbs? Can I buy them off of you? And so we were talking about, you know, my hormones and stuff. And so she had told me to stop making cold smoothies and to make a pureed, to steam specific vegetables and then puree them and not put any spices in there. Maybe add a little salt. I can add like ginger in it, like a coin of ginger, and steam that as well and puree it. And she said, you can make it with eggs. You can eat it with your eggs if you want. And then I realized once I started doing that this week, I started making this new breakfast or my first meal of the day, this green puree. And I realized, like, oh my God, that's right. Anthony Bourdain in my dream made me a pureed vegetable dish. And his was from leftovers, mine are fresh. And so I just thought that was interesting. I was like, huh. So anyway, that will come up later. So my grandmother, Huzurma, that's what she wanted to be called, not grandmother, but Huzurma. Huzur means yes in Nepali and Ma means mother. So I asked Huzurma, why did you come to me in my dream? And she responded, or the soul of her responded, because it was time that I reminded you that I am one of your guides, because you seem to think ancestors mean from 1,000 years ago, but it also means your recent ancestors. And then my grandfather, I could feel my grandfather was there too. Then he passed away like in the early, I can't even remember, like sometime in the early 80s. And they were both living in Nepal, and I was living, you know, my family and I had moved to America. And so Hazarba says hello, and he can be one of your guides too. And when I was doing this last night, it made me tear up. And I said, yes, please. So that was the end of that reading. Oh no, there was more. So, so she said, we hope our children, your father and uncles, and our dear daughter will take better care of each other. They need one another more than ever. The bond isn't broken, but it needs to be repaired. There are some serious health issues, and the suspicion manipulation for control has taken its toll. It may be too late for them, but it isn't. Their health is a direct cause from the infighting. It's rotting their life force. They all have kidney issues. Two of my uncles have adult set diabetes. I'm not sure if it's type 1. I'm pretty sure it's type 1 diabetes. And my father had ureter cancer. And so in order for it to not to spread to the kidneys, they remove one of his kidneys. And one of my uncles had to, because of his diabetes, he was getting dialysis. His kidney had deteriorated. So my aunt, his sister, my dad's sister, gave one of her kidneys to my uncle. So now there's three siblings joining the one kidney club. And then my youngest uncle is also having issues with his kidney too. So that's what she means by the life force. And let's go to, so then I opened the records and I got permission to open Anthony Bourdain, the soul of Anthony Bourdain's record. Well, that was strange. I just lost the past 5 minutes of this episode. So I don't know what's happening, but I will go back and read what I got. There was more to the reading with my grandmother. So I wanted to finish reading that. I'll read this over again. So then I asked, what can I do? Send them this message and let them know I will be coming to them. It's not up to you to get involved. And then she said, it was nice to have that playtime in your dream world. It's a safe way to experience those souls who have no bodies on earth. If you want, it can be a more direct, less symbolism. And yes, the grief of my loss and the potential of losing your father, grandparents. She's talking about my maternal parents who are very much still alive. Uncle's aunt is a lot. And because you absorb the family's energy, there is a lot of fear, grief, and sadness. But we knew you could handle it. Your dream world is such a special place for you. And then she said, the dream of Anthony Bourdain led to Clarice. So I just want to clarify that I'm transcribing what my Hazarma is telling me during my Akashic record reading. And so I'm reading in my notebook, and I realized that she had said Clarice, and that's what I wrote down when she meant Claire. Oh, excuse me, not Clarice, to Claire. And you and her helped complete his soul cycle. He didn't know what to do and didn't know how to directly ask for help. Entity release can be beautiful. And then she told me to write this. I mean, I am writing all of this down, but you are more powerful than you think. So then I opened the records of Anthony Michael Bourdain, which is his full legal name. And he said, thank you. Thank you. I've been, yes, this is real. Your other reading will be similar. And yes, it's all true. I've been unknowingly incredibly lost. Your friend was right. I regretted it. That life was so painful. I was so ashamed. And though this American worldly success had taken me beyond what I thought was possible. I was terrified and just wanted to forget about it all and escape. It was hell. And then I was out and I didn't think it would take. And I wanted to see my family again. It seemed like I was still in Earth world, but it was like a dream, only my inner thoughts showing me around, creating these scenes like the ones in your dream. I've been roaming to find, trying to find someone that I could communicate with to help me. And there is no time. And I was getting lost, believing I was still him in that decrepit body that I abused so much mentally as well as physically. So I just want to stop there. There's more. I'm going to read more, but I just want to give some context. So when he's saying there is no time, meaning he wasn't running out of time, he's just saying that there's literally no concept of time there. And I also want to, he was addressing my thoughts because he was thanking me, and I was thinking, God, is this going to be similar to the reading that I just gave myself asking about my dream about him? And so he was just validating, like, yes, it's all true. This is real. And that telling me that my reading will be similar to this one. And the friend that he wasn't referring to, Claire, who I did the trade with at the psychic fair, he was referring to another friend who also does medium work and is an amazing energy healer. And she, when I told her about this dream 2 weeks ago, my friend told me that he had come to her right after he died and said that he didn't mean to do it. He regretted it as soon as he was dead. He regretted doing it, which I find to be really tragic. So I'm going to continue with the reading from him. So thank you for being you and for Claire. Notice the French connection. And I wrote it like that because that's how I heard him doing a stereotypical French accent. And I just thought, oh my God, you're right. She's French. Or he was French. Thank you for asking about your dream and for helping me release that old life and evolve into freedom. Now I know love, and it is beyond words what you or I could have imagined. It's hard to describe, but everyone has felt it. It's the beauty and the awe. There is a neutrality because the chaos is there, but because there is no dimensional density, that awe you felt, marveling at a photo, something that touched your soul, that is love, part of the whole. That old life I had, makes sense. Parts unknown, so much more to that meaning because that's how I felt. I was unknown to that self, disconnected from the love source. And then I asked about the puree. I said, what about the puree that now I am eating? And he answered, it's a connection to get you used to the idea of eating puree or a thick soup. I didn't know that's what the old Tony was doing in that other reality. You and Claire gave me a gift. You too are a gift, meaning not me also, meaning me and her. You too are a gift. I know your brain wants to know every part of the path of that path, but you already know it. You knew you had gifts coming and you were open. Thank you for not being scared. Please tell that beautiful souls that I love them and I have been and always will be with them. And tell that buff Gruyere, there's a spiritual beer waiting for him. And buff means beef in French. Again, thank you. Always here to help. Don't think about it. Make the episode. Thanks. And that was the end of my reading, my Akashic Record reading with Anthony Bourdain's soul. So, yeah, it's kind of incredible. Lots of amazing connections. And it was just, I don't know, it was just totally unexpected. That's why I think it's so funny because I'm just going to the psychic fair, meeting people, And then, you know, I ended up doing a trade right in the beginning of the fair and had such an incredible experience. I just didn't fathom that was going to happen. And obviously Claire didn't either. And so what he was talking about was about a couple of months ago, I asked the universe, I was like, I want more gifts. I want more spiritual gifts. And so I went to go get energy work from David, who is, he's the co-owner of Starborn Wellness, Starborn Healing and Wellness. That's where I was doing the psychic fair and where Claire and I take dance classes. And so I asked about that in my session with him, and I had this incredible visualization about how to access more gifts. And I don't know. Maybe this is one of them. I'll give you a brief history. So when I was a kid, really little, they used to show The Exorcist on CBS. And my mom used to let me watch it. I don't know, the 70s. and while I didn't watch the whole movie, and I guess parts of it scared me, or maybe I fell asleep, but I used to watch it every year. And so I was very intrigued with ghosts. And I read my first ghost story, this book called The Ghosts of Windy Hill. And from that point on, I was like about in the third grade, I wanted to be a parapsychologist. And then I got, when I was a preteen, you know, 11 and 12, I started reading more about the occult and witchcraft, black magic, Satan worshiping. And that shit scared me. And I was like, oh my God, I want to see a ghost, but I really don't want to see a ghost. And I think that set up my boundaries for this type of work, because I can walk in, you know, I can walk by something and I'm like, yeah, that place is definitely haunted, but I don't have, you know, spirits coming to me unless I'm in a session with someone. You know, there's a time and a place. And doing medium work, you know, I mean, while it's amazing work, I don't know if that's really for me, because I don't know if I could handle some of the things that my friends who do medium work have told me that freak them out, but, you know, they got over it. But, you know, something, you know, waking me up in the middle of the night, whispering in my ear, no, that's not cool. I don't like that. Don't do that to me. Like my grandmother said, it's a benign way of spirits contacting me to help them or make me aware of something in my dream. So yeah, that's interesting. And I hope that any of you who have these types of abilities, don't shun them, accept them, because, you know, when you shun them, it just makes things worse, right? You just create some more stress. And so I hope that gives you a clue if you're into this type of work and want to learn more about it. I just wanted to share those experiences. So thank you all for listening. This is Sharmila Mali. And this is the Confident Healer Podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening. Please go to www.theconfidenthealer.net. This is the best place to listen to the podcast. And it's also where you can go and find the guest info in the show notes. Remember, there are three important actions to take to help grow the show. Invite others to listen. Leave a review if you learned something new, or if you just learned something, and by leaving a donation. You can find the links on theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.